Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm so glad that each of you are here, is here. Very, very happy to see this interest in the Lord, His Word, His church, His promises. May the service have been a blessing to you so far, and may the lesson provide further blessing in the Lord as you face another week, hopefully filled with joy and the Spirit, but certainly filled with good works in Jesus' name to accomplish God's good pleasure as He has you in your own particular sphere of work, ministry, influence. With that in mind, I got to say, Brother Jim's comments. God bless you, man. Somebody better be standing for the truth as they have opportunity. Hopefully all of us will follow that example. I like to consider myself a patriot. Came from my dad. Grew up in the 60s. Grew up in the Vietnam War era, burning of the draft card era, the moving to Canada to escape the draft era. And I was approaching 18 and don't remember exactly how, when. I think something to the effect of, Dad, I need you to go with me to the post office and make sure I get registered like I should. As I remember, some response, something like, "You mean you're not registered yet? How long have you been 18? I'm not having some second-class citizen for a son." That stuck with me. The idea of second-class citizen, and he wasn't being discriminatory. What he was saying was, these young people who are American citizens who don't understand their responsibilities, they make themselves second-class citizens. I don't want you doing that. You be a first-class citizen. You be one who stands for your country, appreciates the gift that God has given to the world by that country, and you do your duty for that country. That's my dad. As you can see, that's just stuck with me all this time. So I paid attention to politics. I paid attention to how the country was headed per its leadership. There's no such thing as a Christian country except the church. Okay? The church is the kingdom. Matthew 16, 18, and 19. So technically, the United States has never been a Christian country in terms of Christ's own people. And if you're a citizen of the United States, you're a citizen of Christ's kingdom. No. That's false. Christ's kingdom is not a political entity. The United States is. So there's one big difference right there. And that goes to all the countries through, you know, for 2,000 years. The Holy Roman Empire, so-called, was not a Christian country. Just by fact. But any country can set the tone. Any leader of a country can set the tone of that country by the direction of its leadership. And the United States, the only country I know of that was started as an idea, a country, a nation started as an idea in the minds of a few strong individuals who developed that idea of a republic based on freedom, built on Judeo-Christian ethics. The ethics of the Old Testament, for sure, which does involve some political understanding, and the ethics of the New, which, according to the Apostle Paul, fulfill the Old. Romans 13 and other places. That was the set. It becomes very easy for people now to say, well, most all my life they've said it. They've just gone from the college campuses out into the streets. It's very easy for people to say, those handful of old white guys were slave owners, terrible people who they didn't do any real good at all. To say that is an unfair statement is to understate it. You can't take modern sensitivity, especially as it relates to morality, and impose it on a people, a nation, an individual 200 years prior. You can't even do it a generation past. It's unfair to do that. It's not proper. God doesn't, and we for sure don't need to be judging our ancestors like that. Yes, they were slave owners. And yes, they were very self-concerned. Not all of them, some of them. And they were very self-concerned about their freedom. And no, women didn't get the right to vote in 1776. That's exactly right. Although Abigail Adams made a good case for that. But she was smart enough to say to her husband John, when you get this country won, you need to think about the women. Even she was smart enough to understand first things first. Let's get the country won first, and then we can worry about the other things. There was an intense argument over slavery as the country was beginning to be developed. And the slave owners certainly said, if you don't allow us, our slaves will bolt. That was an ugly time. And there was a compromise that kept slavery going for a while. Thomas Jefferson, though, said, I expect slavery to outlive its usefulness and to die a quick death. Didn't quite happen that way because of the cotton gin and other things. Took a civil war to kill it. But it did die. In the same country, based on the same constitution, Constitution based on the same declaration that all men are created equal and are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Where did they get that? They got it from their Bible. They got it from their God. Were they perfect? No. And neither are we. But they still took an idea and created something rather beautiful. It is what happens when the Bible has free sway among a populace. No denominational barriers and no state barriers. What you get is the beautiful dream called the United States, which did develop to the form. The early founders had to get rid of the concept of aristocracy. They had a hard time doing that, but that had to be first before you could think about getting rid of the concept of slavery and freeing people who were slaves. The old white guys had to secure their foundation first to have a place to stand to work for the freedom of others. Lincoln understood that and worked well to make the Declaration and by application the Constitution apply to all like it should. I took note of all this, enjoyed it. I revel in history because I see that as the work of God unfolding through the ages. Got into where I could vote for myself. Got my home started. And then I heard Jimmy Carter make this comment. About 1980. Homosexuals are free to engage in their behavior. And it is a right thing because Jesus did not condemn the homosexual or homosexuality. So because the discussion about homosexuality wasn't written in red, Jimmy Carter says it's righteous and you need to stop judging. And way back then I knew we were in trouble. Because I didn't hear anybody rebuking. Nobody in government. I didn't even hear anybody in the church rebuking. Come to find out, homosexuality was pretty well eating up a bunch of the churches of Christ. Some of their institutions. They were infected with the filth. So nobody said a word, and I knew we were in trouble. Way back then. Over the years, I went to minister in Ann Arbor. They have what they call an art fair. Went to the art fair and discussed with different ones how they are thinking. And sure enough, the hard left was there. College campus, University of Michigan right there. And in the art fair, you had your own booth, and the church had a booth, and we were passing out literature, and some of those folks very easily came and got in our face, including the homosexual lobby. One of them got a balloon from another station that says, Jesus loves me. And that homosexual got a pen and wrote, and on top, and T-O-O at the bottom, and Jesus loves me too. And waved that balloon. And I said, well, that's true. He does. But that's not permission for you to continue your sin. And he smiled and walked on. One of the things I noticed in the discussion and in the literature passed out was that they were very clear in their discussions, the hard left, that if they didn't get what they want, blood was going to flow. There would be war if they did not get their way. And again, nobody sounded any warning. The closest one was a man named David Horowitz, who had communist parents, and he himself brought up as a communist. He was sounding warnings, but he was quickly put aside as a radical fearmonger. Only now on the right instead of the left. But I paid attention to what he was saying. And I noticed, not just him, but others. And I saw the United States inexorably headed in a direction of disaster. So now here we are. In 2022, in the hands of folks in power who are ready to criminalize you because you take the Bible serious. One more thing before we go further. Talking with a young lady, daughter of an elder in Charlotte, not too long ago. And I was warning them about how homosexuality was being pressed by those in authority in Canada. And I said, and it's coming here. And she laughed in my face and said, we've got the First Amendment. Nobody is ever going to make anybody else accept homosexuality. And she walked away. And I knew she was speaking naively. Because if you can ignore the Constitution and get your way set in government, then you do it. That's the left's whole point. And if you can't do it, you cause such trouble that the people who are in your way are sorry they are in your way. So here we are today. been working on this a while. Some of you remember, perhaps, when I said I'm going to try to get this lesson prepared, and I need your prayers. So I've been working on this for a while, and finally got the PowerPoint like I wanted it. And to transfer it from my computer to this computer for presentation, some interesting things happened. First of all, we're going to start here. Why has the United States lost its way so dramatically? Well, if you remember in the book of Revelation, you've got the dragon, the devil, and the beast, his creation, and the false prophet, the spokesman for the beast. And as Rome collapses, these three still find a way to go on by the release of three demons, which are the spirits of false prophets. These are the three demons, I'm convinced, that has ruined Western civilization for sure. Darwin, Marx, and Freud. Darwin is creation without God. If you can explain creation and not have to bring the Bible into it, you've done something. And he did. And they took it and ran with it. And now if you try to bring the Bible into it and say, oh, now wait a minute, that doesn't, the nature and the evidence didn't quite say what you're saying, they'll shut you down and marginalize you immediately. Because, you see, this isn't a scientific point of view. This is a political point of view. Darwinism is the first time science, certainly in America, became politicized. So that there can be no discussion anymore about Darwinism. Even though Darwinism, the pure theory, is falling apart. And they admit it. Even the atheistic materialists who are call themselves scientists, like Stephen Gould, even they admit Darwinism doesn't hold up, but they try to tweak it, try to prop it, so that the illusion of Darwinism is maintained. But this is how science now is to be interpreted. Marxism, which you thought it went away with the fall of the Berlin Wall, or would to God it had, but guess where is finding tremendous resurgence in the world? From us. From the United States. The United States is becoming a hotbed of Marxism and spreading it everywhere else. Marxism is government without God. Marxism is the idea that government is a materialistic concern. They use the term socialism, but most everyone understands that socialism is just a mild form of communism. You cannot be a communist in power if you believe in God. You cannot be a communist in power if you hold the Bible as valid for modern society. You are rejected and marginalized and worse. And then, of course, there's Freud here. Freud is behavior without God. Freud is the idea that behavior is not controlled by any supernatural force, or is not to be understood in terms of in supernatural terms, but behavior is simply a matter of matter. Behavior is simply a matter of matter in motion. And Freudianism is another thing that has been discredited, but is being propped up because it's useful politically. But the idea is certain chemicals coming together in the body, in the brain, that produces certain responses. Where do you think the idea of sex education came from? It came from the idea that sex is not to be understood by any kind of spiritual definition. Sex is to be understood only in terms of instinct and hormones. And what gives young people problems in this direction is they're not taught to understand what's going on in them. And that's where it started. That's how it got in the schools. And now, American schools are, teachers' unions, demanding the right to to indoctrinate our children in homosexual practice. And they're ready to have you thrown in jail if you get in their way. So this is where all this comes from. Well, where what comes from? Well, this. Break the binary. You know what the binary is. The binary is that there is only two sexes, male and female. Obviously, there are hundreds of gender orientations. And that's why they like the term gender instead of sex. Gender is something mentally perceived. Sex is scientific fact. They don't like to have to deal with scientific fact, so they stress what someone's perception might be. So, get rid of the binary, because that leads to patriarchy. You understand? Feminist term, which has been very useful in overthrowing males in American society, basically neutering the male so that the women can have it in, as leadership and control. And then, once they get it, what happens? Here comes a man dressed like a woman, and he says, I must be accepted as a woman. And the mentality has been stretched to the point where they say, well, I guess we must. Are we discriminate? So now the women are losing their place in society, even as they have turned it over to trans women. That is, men who pretend or behave in a feminine way. So this is what we're talking about. This is someone who made public comments made at a Hallmark studio about what kind of productions should Hallmark crank out. And this actress said, just going through some old emails from a Hallmark job I was let go from back in January, and this is January, I think a year ago. I had insisted on an LGBTQ, if you want to know what that is, talk to me afterwards, I'm not going to throw that in. I had insisted on an LGBTQ character, an interracial couple with diverse casting. Let me say right now, nothing wrong with interracial couples. That is totally a cultural concern. It is not a spiritual concern. Moses married a black woman. Okay, there's nothing wrong with interracial marriage at all. So that's not from God. But it's convenient to tie this with this, you see, because there is a concern about discrimination along these lines. Discrimination along the lines of characteristics you're born with. That is outlawed. It ought to be outlawed. God has nothing to do with that. That's wicked division, trying to stir up hate among people. But this is behavior. Somebody says, no, 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 we're born with it. No proof that anyone is born homosexual. No proof. Never has been. And they've been working hard at it since the 70s. No proof. They assume a lot. They come up with myths to explain. But no, this is behavior. We must not discriminate here. We have to discriminate here. You must not discriminate against someone for characteristics they're born with. You have to discriminate behavior. You have to understand behavior that is good versus behavior that is bad. Anyway, so it's convenient to tie all this together. And diverse casting, and you know what she means by that. I was polite, direct, professional, but after the execs gave their notes on the script and none of my requests were honored, I was told, take it or leave it. So she says, I left it. And of course, she's advertising this to apply pressure on Hallmark to get busy and get with the program. This also is typical of the left's political tactics. This is what's going on with the Supreme Court. When they're afraid the Supreme Court's going to vote against what they want, their revolution. This is what they're about. Pressure. You don't just say, this is what I want, and I'm going to try to persuade people my way. No, that doesn't work anymore. You say, this is what I want, and you better get with the program, or you will be sorry. See, remember, rules for radicals. That guy's booklet that he wrote, that Hillary Clinton wrote a thesis on it, loved it, really liked it. Rules for Radicals is you make the opposition sorry they oppose. Okay. So then here we are. Sex education. Got to have sex education. I didn't like it when it started. I thought it was intruding. What are mom and dad supposed to do? Just kind of stand there? And the answer is yes. You get to stand there and let us indoctrinate your children for the future of our society. That's why they hate homeschooling, because homeschooling doesn't give a proper socialization for the children. They don't mean children will have a hard time getting along with each other. What they mean is your children won't know how society works if all their education is your homeschool, especially if you're going to use that Bible. And so there's a war against homeschooling. They don't like alternatives anyway, as many of you may have noticed in schooling. But if we don't have alternatives for our children, we're in tyranny. You get that right. If you don't have a choice about the education of your children, then we're no longer a free nation. But what about this? What about... Surely nobody could be against the birth of a baby. Don't kid yourself. You know the screaming going on about abortion. The screaming going on about my body, my choice. And they have it has nothing to do with keeping yourself pure. It's all about I'll do whatever I want, whenever I want, and I'll kill anything inside of me that results from that behavior. It's not going to stop me from being what I want. So nature is turned on its head. There is no such thing as nature or natural with these folks. Let me tell you what I mean. They hate the term mother, despise the term mother. Guess what they called mothers long time ago? Who's they? They is the hard left. They is the homosexual community. They is the lesbian feminist community. Who'd they call mothers? What'd they call them? Breeders. Called them breeders. They wouldn't say mothers. They're breeders. And you know, with the population problem the world has and has killing us, to be a breeder is terrible. It's just terrible. So what are you going to do? Well, breeder doesn't work too well in the focus groups. So they changed it to birthing person. So today it's a birthing. It's not mother. It's a birthing person. Are you getting a pattern here, folks, that's got a hold of your country? All right. Oh, I meant to put a slide there. It's not there. I wonder what happened. I'm dead serious. I meant to have something. It's not there. But fortunately, I found out that it was missing. Remember transferring it from my computer to this computer for presentation? Never could get this thing to show up. Never could get the slide to work. Never would. All the others would. Well, the front, the introductory slide. Had to redo that. But this never would. So I had to outwit the computer. That's what would not show up. That slide. Or that picture. It would always be that. Any ideas why that would be blotted out? I've got a few. It really doesn't surprise me at all. I don't think I've told you this before, but Barbara and I got a nasty letter a little over a year ago from someone in New York who didn't like my Facebook ministry, and they threatened me to stop, and then they threatened the church, you guys, if you didn't make me stop. So I'm not surprised at all that that's all I got when I try to normally put this PowerPoint together. Google is a propaganda arm of the hard left, just to let you know. And yes, they keep up with this stuff. They keep up with what you do. They have to, because they can't handle and can't stand opposition. Not any reasonable discussion. So anyway, communist infiltration is obvious in Antifa, BLM, Democratic Party. Communists and the Republicans, obviously they are. They're in the universities. We have been infiltrating folks. And they think they can make the revolution work now. And that's what they're pushing. The riots of the 20s, remember that, 2021? One thing they wanted to make sure they burned, Bibles. Not a bunch of books, just Bibles. And the point is this, get people hating each other, get them fighting each other. See, because if we'll turn on each other, then they get to do whatever they want, and then they're ready to rule the rooms. Look at Portland, Oregon. And a bunch of other places now. They set the place on fire, and then they want to rule the ashes. While we do what? Busy ourselves with our entertainment, even if it's good, even if it's Hallmark cleaned up. As long as we're not in their way. So here's the flag of the country I love, that I was taught to love. What's its future? I don't know if it has one. I would love to tell you, oh, let me tell you, it's got a great future, and here's what we can do. I think that time's passed. Somebody says, here's a candidate to vote for. That'll turn things around. I don't know whom we could put forward. From a political standpoint, I don't know that the church needs to worry about that anyway, but I don't see anyone. I do like our governor, I'll just say that, but is he going to solve it? How are we going to solve any of this without everything getting torn apart? You go back, and this was mentioned in the prayer, I believe. Go back to how we started, the Mayflower. And these were not slave owners, not that I know. But they were looking for a fresh start, religious freedom. Didn't get where they were headed, but they got somewhere where they could start over. And before God, in their own words, before God, they made a compact with each other. A covenant. Mayflower compact. And that got things started in the right direction. And was it William Bradford who said the idea was to create a city on a hill that would be a shining light to the whole world? Reagan used that quote to speak of the entire nation of America. Movies have always demonstrated a place of religion. Christianity, usually, or their sense of Christianity, their idea of Christianity. Anyway, being near God was always a big deal. Prayer would work in many movies. I don't see that now. God isn't even mentioned now in most all movies, except as maybe a cuss word. So what are we going to do? Well, whether the United States continues to stand or not, we better be preaching. Whenever we're around people that want to say to each his own, when we're talking homosexuality, someone better speak up and say, no. Would you say to each his own if he's talking about committing murder? Or he's talking about stealing your savings? To each his own? No. There is right and there's wrong, in terms of sexual behavior. Somebody's got to preach it. This man's preaching his heart out. I want to follow that man and preach my heart out to everyone who will hear me. But you don't have to find a pulpit, do you? Just anyone who will open their Bible and study with it. Do you need to be getting with people and opening the Bible? Yes. Oh, but we don't want to upset them. We don't want to make them mad. We don't want to say the wrong thing. If you love them and you love their soul and you love the Word, tell them what they need to hear and God will sort the rest of it out. What cannot happen is that you say nothing because you don't know what to say. We got tracts. If you don't want to be verbal about it, get a tract and put it in front of them. Let's saturate this place with our tracts. I've been trying that for 8 years. How about you help me? By the Word, we're going to be able to get people to look inward and actually, honestly consider their actions, their lives, in relation to the Word of God. Not in relation to what you like or don't like. Not even in relation to our politics. What God says. What God says. If we can get people to actually fear God, to consider that God is the one they've got to answer. They don't have to answer to us. Certainly don't have to answer to me. But they have to answer to God for how they believe. We can get people to get that. Oh, what good things we would have accomplished just in there. Golden rule. Do to others as you would have others do to you. Amen?
Amen.
And this, one of the weak places of American morality was easy divorce. Get back to treasuring this. Isn't this beautiful? Treasure marriage. Treasure the need for marriage. And marriage is between a man and a woman. And no other creature or no other situation. Marriage between a man and a woman who commit to each other. And the commitment stands for life. Stands for life. And finally, we've got to start, especially this group here, we've got to start caring about the younger generation. Got to start helping them see the value of God. Got to get them into their Bible. If they don't get into their Bible anywhere else, they need to get into their Bible, into your Bible, maybe in your lap, as you show them what it says. So that as they think of you, they think of something like this. Yeah, I love going to Grandma's house. She'd always have her Bible open. She'd read to me. Do you know how powerful that could be? If that's the only place they heard it. Big deal. Because somebody's going to take the hand of the next generation and lead them into the future. If it's the hand of the wicked, but it doesn't have to. It can be your hand. It can be mine. Solomon was so right. Righteousness is what exalts a nation. Sin is a reproach to any nation of people. We've got a few breaches in the wall around America. What are we going to do about it? Somebody's got to stand in the breach. The only one I know up to that is you. Let me close by taking you to Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 5 and following. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter has done? Says the Lord. Look, as the clay is in the hands of the potter, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. The instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up, to pull down, and to destroy it, If that nation against whom I have spoken turns from its evil, I will turn from the disaster that I thought to bring upon it. And the instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it, if it does evil in my sight so that it does not obey my voice, then I will relent concerning the good with which I said I would benefit. Why are we to obey the laws of the land? Romans 13 is very, very clear. Because the governments that be are ordained of God. And the only reason any government stands is because God has it standing. But government, as Romans 13 says, is to punish the wicked, verse 4, and to bless the righteous. So what's wicked and righteous? Well, that's not hard to figure out. It's whatever Jesus says is wicked or righteous. Not necessarily Moses, but most certainly Christ. Christ is the standard for what nation? All nations. All nations. And whether that nation stands depends on how that government handles its responsibility before the Lord. That's why it's so important for you to pray for the government and those in power.
Pray for Biden?
Yeah, you better. Especially pray for our president. I ain't praying for the Supreme Court. You better. Oh, how you better. You better pray for our governor. You better pray for the mayor. Pray for the chief of police. Don't you think? Because our prayers toward them is what we can expect to come back toward us. According to what Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy. Will there be a future for America? I have no idea. We sure are working hard to shut ourselves down. And we've been doing it for a long time. If you've been listening to me, you know this. Can we turn it around? Yes. Every day presents new hope. Will we turn it around is the thing. Is this going to be easy? Is this going to be without sacrifice? Is this going to be everybody loving us as we make the effort? No. But here's the bottom line. It really doesn't matter what the United States does. It really doesn't matter what the government does. It really doesn't matter what our neighbors think. We have to be faithful. We have to be true to our Lord. Because in the bottom line, after it's all been said and done, we bow the knee to King Jesus and Noah. Amen. If you here need to surrender your soul to King Jesus, what better time than now? If you as a Christian need prayers for strength, forgiveness, help, let's take care of it. You'll come home and see us.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus.